our district superintendent and from the rest of the team this morning. We thank the Lord for you, and we're grateful that you all are one of the lighthouses that are here in Perry County. And we're grateful for just the way that you love the Lord and live for him here in this part of our district. And I do also want to say that we are praying for you as you are walking through this time of transition. I know that in my particular role, I don't have as much interaction with you and the leadership in this season, but please know that we pray for you often. We pray for the leading of the pastor search team and of the elders as you all prayerfully consider who would be the next pastor of your church. So please know that we are with you and for you in that and are here to support you however we can in that journey. Well, I want to take a few moments this morning and kind of give you an update on some things that are happening in our district related to church planting. And then I want to take us to a passage of scripture that kind of gives a little bit of the why church planting is so important, but also how you all, as New Buffalo Alliance, can be involved in God's work of multiplication in this region. All right. So first, in just sharing about church planting, I know we don't have the slides, but I'm gonna go through them in my mind here, so we can make it work. But did you know that there are 9.2 million people living in eastern Pennsylvania? So just this half of the state, right? If you were to kind of, it's almost like if you cut it in half and do everything east, that's us from State College, right, to Philly, you know, all the way from York County to the northern tier. 9.2 million people. And do you know how many of those 9.2 million people, we'll just say at least go to church? 21%. 21%. So that means, I mean, I'm not really great at math, right? But you take 9.2, what, 21% of 9.2, right? And that's also making an assumption that by going to church that they're walking with Jesus faithfully. So we'll just leave that one alone for now, and we'll just say that 21%, right, that they're walking with Jesus faithfully. So that means that almost 80% of the people of eastern Pennsylvania are not walking with Jesus. Now, it's hard to tell this number, but I wonder how many of those 80% don't know who Jesus is. Maybe they've heard about Jesus from some media outlet or from social media somewhere, but how many of them don't have a relationship with a Jesus-following believer? So that's a lot of people. But to bring it a little bit closer to home, because 9.2 million is a lot, right? In Perry County, there are just under 46,000 people. 46,000 people right here in your county, and the statistics are just the same. It's actually a little bit higher, but it's 22%, not 21. 22% of people in Perry County regularly attend a church. So again, that leaves 78% of people, right? So again, I'm not doing the math, 46,000, you know, 78% of 46,000. So there's a lot of people. This is part of why church planting is so important. So to give you why we church plant, an update for what's happening, we want to make sure and we want to see all of those 9.2 million people have the opportunity to hear and know Jesus through his people, right? Because that's what we're called to, bring the gospel in both how we live and how we share the good news of Jesus with others, so that everyone would have the opportunity to love and be in relationship with Jesus. So right now in Eastern PA, there are 9 active church planting projects, all scattered throughout this half of the state, in some level of development. So for some of them, they're just kind of, they're in plan. There's only a few people attached to them. Some of them have been launched for a while now. But I want to highlight 4 of them really quick for us. So first is a little bit north in Columbia County in Berwick. Our church there, called the Foundry Church, they launched with a core group of about 30 people last September. So that was last September. And it's been really neat to see how God is impacting the town of Berwick. Just within the last couple of weeks, there was a father and his son who is connected to the family of the church who came to faith and are being baptized next week because they made the decision to follow Jesus. Now, what's interesting about this particular father and son, like a lot of the people that are connecting with the Foundry Church, is that they went to church the father went to church when he was younger, but has spent decades away from Jesus, and now has come forward to say, no, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and he's now beginning to lead his son towards that as well. So we praise God for that. Praise God for that. So that's Berwick. Another one is happening in the Newberry area of Williamsport. I don't know if you're familiar with the city of Williamsport at all, but there's the highway, right, 15, you know, as it cuts all the way up through. It actually goes right up through Williamsport. And there's this funny thing that happens in places where when there's a highway that divides something, right, somehow in our minds we think those people are over there. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Like you cross a bridge, you're like, it's actually closer to cross the bridge, but I think those people are over there. And it's one of those just funny things, right? Well, in Williamsport, Newberry is on the other side of the highway. So it's that group of people over there. And so seeing that opportunity, one of our other churches is planting in that area of Newberry, which is Western Williamsport. Which is statistically one of the poorest parts of Williamsport and the least reached parts of Williamsport. And so by God's grace, that church is launching. Right now they have about 30-ish people that are a part of the core group that's coming from actually three different Alliance churches in that region. They're coming together to plant that Newberry church, and they are launching this October. And there's already been multiple people that have come to faith through kind of the process of gathering the core group and hearing about what's going on. So we praise God for what he's doing in Williamsport. It's really exciting to see what God's doing there. The next one I want to share is in South Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is a significant ministry field. Of those 9.2 million people I mentioned earlier, in the city, just the city itself is almost 2 million of them. Yeah, so there's a lot of people, and it's all very condensed space for them. So there's a lot of people living in a very small geographical area. But when we look at all of the Alliance churches that are in the city, a lot of them are in the north or they're in the west. We actually only have one, and it's a Vietnamese church in South Philadelphia. So we don't have any English-speaking churches in South Philadelphia. So knowing that, we really wanted to see an effort happen in South Philadelphia. And so we have a planter now that's working in kind of the New Bold area, if you're familiar with Philadelphia at all. So it's south of Center City. And he's there specifically trying to reach second, third generation immigrants who maybe are, you know, they're kind of trying to figure out their faith. Some of them come from faith backgrounds, but the generation that grew up before them speak whatever language they immigrated with. But then there's some that have been in the country now for several decades and now multiple generations, and they may not even know God, but yet they still have a connection to kind of their country of origin. So with that, Scott Newcomer and his wife May are there reaching second, third generation immigrants in South Philadelphia. And because this is a little bit more of what we call a parachute plant, which means you kind of just like send someone in and let them get to work, they are starting very, very slowly. But by God's grace, they have about 12 to 15 people that are regularly meeting in their home. And so we just pray and ask that God would continue to build that over the course of this next year. And of those 12 to 15 people, there's already three or four different ethnic groups represented just in those 12 to 15 people. So we're seeing God begin to work there as well. So we praise God for that, what he's doing in South Philly. And then last one I'll share with you is in York City, right? So not necessarily York County, but right in the city of York. We have a church plant that's called Mosaic City Church. And
They have been specifically trying to reach this one neighborhood that's there. Again, it's one of the most unreached kind of neighborhoods in the city of York. And what they've been doing is specifically in their outreach to youth, they host kind of like a weekly, they play in the park because there's a park right next to where the church meets, and then they gather for like a small group time. And one of the things that they're finding is that a lot of this, particularly the young boys that are coming to be a part of this, they don't have fathers at home or present to help kind of guide them through through life. And so some of the adult men in the church have shifted their kind of what they do in their men's Bible study to be present with these youth on Friday nights so that they can begin to pour into the lives of these young men who don't have those fathers at home, that by God's grace, there would be Christian men that would be able to help them to see that the best way to live and to navigate life is in relationship with Jesus. And so they now have seen multiple young boys coming to faith and coming to be a part of that group. So we praise God for what he's doing in the city of York. And so I'm really grateful for your partnership with church planting, both in the past and into the future, and very grateful for the way that New Buffalo has contributed financially and contributed through your prayers to the work that God is doing here in Eastern Pennsylvania. So very grateful for you in that. And if you have any questions about church planting or what's going on or what's happening, or you want more updates, there's always more stories to tell, and we're happy to be able to share some of those. But that's a little bit of what God's doing in Eastern PA. And so kind of with that, I'd like to take us into a passage of scripture this morning that starts to get into the why church planting is so important, but also how you can get involved. Because the reality is that this idea of church planting, it's not anything new, right? Church planting has been happening for a long time. I actually was talking to Kurt. I remembered your last name, Hopta. Yeah, all right, there you go. I was talking to Kurt this morning about how this church got started and about how this church was a part of planting Perry Community Church, right? So, right, and this goes all the way back to the time of Paul, right? That church planting, that disciples of Jesus would mature in their faith, grow, and that they would send people, right? They would send not just like one people, they would send groups of people to go to new areas around them to plant churches. And so I want to take us to a passage of scripture that kind of reiterates some of the why behind this. And I pray this morning that we would both be encouraged to continue to pray for God's work here in Eastern PA, but also that we would be challenged to see what our role could be like in helping to see the gospel go forward to new places. Because the reality is whether it's South Philadelphia, whether it's Berwick, or here in Perry County, it takes all kinds of people, it takes all kinds of churches to reach all these different areas of Pennsylvania. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll get into Acts chapter 19 this morning. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for what you are doing in our district and through our churches. Lord, we're grateful that we can share testimony of your work in the lives of different places and different churches through your people, Lord. You gave us the command to go and make disciples. And so we trust, Lord, that as we are faithful to do that, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you call men and women to be your followers, to mature that they might go and make other followers of Jesus Christ. And that through your heart of multiplication, your longing to see people come close to you, Lord, that you would continue that work in us and through us. For my brothers and sisters here in New Buffalo, Lord, I pray that you would continue to give them passion and vision to see your gospel go deeper into them and then go through them to Perry County and into the regions beyond. And Lord, we're grateful as well for the privilege that we get to be a part of your mission. And so, Lord, as we go into your word this morning, I ask that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and that you would shape us, that the desire of our hearts would be more and more like the desires of your heart. that our desires would become your desires, that what's really important to you would become really important to us. And so help us and shape us, we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We're going to be looking at just a few verses, Acts 19, verses 8 through 10. And this is part of one of Paul's missionary journeys. And as Paul would regularly do, he would begin by going into a town, and he would first go to the synagogue. And then depending on how things went there, he might pivot and change some of his plans along the way. And that's what we see here when Paul goes to the city of Ephesus. Right? So again, you know, the book of Ephesians, that will come later. Right now, this is Paul's first entry into the city of Ephesus. And so again, this is Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. It says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples, and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, this is kind of like it's one of the, you know, if you know the book of Acts, right? Luke wrote the book of Acts to help chronicle the work of the Holy Spirit as the church was being birthed after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so sometimes as Luke goes through, he kind of makes these like annotations or notes that kind of give us an idea of what's happening. And I want to draw this out because this is one of those like little notes that if you pause and you think about it, it really begins to paint a picture of what Jesus was doing or what the Spirit was doing in the early church. So let's kind of dig a little bit deeper into what's happening here. So again, it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. So Paul goes in, and as he would normally do, he would go. But look at what he does. It says he argued and persuaded. Right? Argued and persuaded. Now, that kind of maybe makes it sound a little bit of angrier than maybe it actually was. But the idea here is that the words actually deal with this idea of dialogue. Like to speak into or try to persuade. And what's he trying to persuade them of? He's trying to persuade them that Jesus is the way. He's trying to persuade them that the gods that they worship, that the life that they're pursuing is empty without Jesus. And he's trying to point them to who Jesus really is, that the Son of God, and that he really did die on the cross for the sins of the world, and that he truly rose from the grave, and that because he did, that changes everything. And so in that, he's trying to persuade them that this is true and that this is real. But as we see, there in the synagogue among the Jewish believer or the Jewish people that were there, their hearts became hardened, and it said that they would not believe. They actually became antagonistic towards Paul, and it says that they slandered the way. That was what the movement of Jesus was called in those days, the way. And so they slandered them, and so Paul takes those that did believe, and he goes, and then it says he conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Now, again, that just sounds like another one of those, like, random details, but the Hall of Tyrannus would have been like a gathering place, right? Kind of think of it maybe the equivalent in our day, like a fire hall or something like that, where you would have a space where you could meet and people could come and they could gather. And that they could come and they could interact. But notice what Paul does. Paul doesn't go to that hall and just preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. What does it say that he did? It says that he conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall. Right? Again, he's trying to persuade them. He's interacting with them about conversations, about what's going on in their life, and trying to persuade them that Jesus is the way. That following Jesus, and what you begin to see is that some of these people, they begin to believe in Jesus. They're persuaded by Paul, and they begin to believe in Jesus, and they're transformed. They become disciples of Jesus, and they're transformed in their wants and in their desires and how they live, and everything about them begins to change. And then something truly just off the charts crazy happens. Look at it. Like, again, it feels like a footnote, but it's like this amazing. It says, this went on for 2 years. So Paul, in the fire hall, interacting with people, discussing Jesus with them for 2 years. And then it says, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now, we don't really think about this a whole lot, but that province of Asia, which is basically in the Roman Empire, which basically would have been equivalent to the western half of modern-day Turkey, was home to approximately 1 million to 1.5 million people. So that means in 2 years, what was happening in that fire hall or in that lecture hall of Tyrannus ended up becoming a movement that sent people all over the province of Asia so that at least 1 million people heard the good news of Jesus. 1 million people in 2 years. Because the gospel was moving in the city of Ephesus. And so it's like this one little verse, but it's amazing to see what God was doing, that by people coming to faith in Jesus, maturing and willingly submitting their lives to him, that letting God shape who they are, what they do, how they interact with the world, they were sent out from that place so that all the people of Asia, that province of Asia, heard the word of the Lord. And we know, if you go forward in the Bible to the book of Revelation, when Jesus speaks to the churches of the book of Revelation, all of those churches are in the province of Asia. All of those churches are churches that were planted as a part of this movement of multiplication that started in a lecture hall in the city of Ephesus. And so when we think about what God is doing in this moment, right, there's some things that we can see here that apply for us as well. Because I believe that this isn't just an extraordinary event, but this is actually a pattern for us about what church is supposed to look like in terms of how we make disciples, how we're changed by Jesus, and how we're sent out to bring the good news of Jesus to new people and to new places, so that in every, for us, every county and in every region, every person, every man, woman, and child would have the opportunity to hear and respond to the good news of Jesus through one of us as Jesus followers. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that would be. So a couple things I want to just kind of pull out of this for us to reflect on. The first is this, is that the way that Paul went about this is he didn't start by just trying to gather the biggest crowd that he could. He started by having discussions with people, persuading them that Jesus is the way. Right, so sometimes we get this idea in our mind that what church really needs to be about is about accumulating as many people as possible so that we can preach and or someone can preach to them the good news of Jesus. That's not the pattern of the New Testament church. The pattern of the New Testament church is that we would be disciples that would make disciples of others, and that we would mature to the point where we can go and make other disciples. So it wasn't Paul that reached all those million people in the province of Asia. I mean, I don't know how many people he discipled. We're not given that level of detail. But Paul seemingly never left Ephesus. So that means that all the people in that province, they weren't reached by Paul's preaching. They were reached by people that Paul discipled that were then sent out to go and to do that. And so that makes me wonder for our churches, how are we thinking about how we are making disciples? And are we maturing and seeing transformation happen at such a level that people are saying, all right, I'm ready. Who am I going to? Who do I get to form into a disciple? Who is God calling me to make disciples? And that's one of the neat things about the way that we are gathered together. Is my guess is that in out of a room this size with this many of people, is that in your workplace, in the places where you go to have fun, in whether it's hobbies or whether it's school activities or sports or whatever that is, there are unique people that only you interact with. Other people in the church don't get a chance to interact with, but you do. And you're called, right, as a disciple to go and to make those disciples. But if you remember the Great Commission, Jesus doesn't say, okay, go make disciples. I hope you figure out how to do that on your own. He says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. That's the King James sneaks in there on me. And lo, I am with you even into the ends of the age. So he goes before us, and so when we're on the disciple-making mission, Jesus is with us. And if we lack something in it, then we go to Jesus, and we figure out, we go to each other as the body of Christ, and we say, equip me, train me, how do I do this? And we figure it out together. And when we fail or we mess up along the way, by God's grace, we pick each other up and we say, that's all right. And along the way, we are transformed, that the desires of our heart become more the desires of God's heart. And God desires that every person would come to know him. So Paul's approach to this was different than the typical approach of church today, right? And again, he did this through the formation of these disciples, right? If you notice, right, he's preparing them for something. When Paul is making disciples, he doesn't say, okay, now that you're a mature disciple, I want you to stay here in Ephesus so that we can help just reach this city of Ephesus. They were thinking about what was beyond. They were thinking about who else was out there that needed to hear the good news of Jesus. And so I'd put that before you as a church for you to consider, who might God be calling you to? There's the people that are in your immediate circles, right? And then you're a part of Perry County, and who might be the people that God might be calling you to reach there? But who are the people outside of that, right, that may need to be reached as well, right? Northern Dauphin County, not too far away, right? Juniata County, not too far away, right? All these places are in deep need of the gospel, deep need of the saving grace of Jesus, right? And who will go? Who will be sent out to do that? And that's kind of the last thing I want to bring out of this is, again, it says Paul continued this for 2 years until every person in Asia heard of the word of the Lord. And what I find fascinating about this is it's what Luke doesn't write here. Luke doesn't say, and the church grew to about 3,000 people. And the church of Ephesus numbered 200 people. You know what the measurement of success for the city of Ephesus was how many people were sent and how many people got to hear the gospel. Think about that. So the measurement for it was not how many people have we gathered together. The measurement for success for the church of Ephesus was how many people have we sent out and has everybody in our region, has everybody heard the good news of Jesus? And so I think about that for our churches here in Eastern PA. I wonder, what if we stopped measuring our success by how many people showed up to the events that we hold or the services we have? What if we measured the success of our church by how many people we trained and sent out and how many people in our county have heard the word of the Lord? What if that was the measurement of success? I don't know about you, but when I think about those things, what I tend to find is that the things that we measure or celebrate are the things that get the most of our attention, and they're the things that typically tend to change. I loved what you did this morning, brother, in explaining why you changed some things in the service, because I think it's important for people to hear the why in that, Right? And it's leadership to do that, because what you're saying is we want to measure our service by really looking at, can we as a body worship the Lord with the time that we have together? And how can we do that the best that we can do that? And so if we need to move some things around to make that happen, let's do that. Right? And so if we need to rethink about how we measure success as a church, right? What would it look like for us to say, well, we sent out six people to help to launch a new Bible study or a new group or to reach a new part of Perry County that's not being reached. And you know, actually this church has done that before. I don't know if you guys know, but Perry Community Church, a little bit farther into Perry County, that's how it got started. A group from New Buffalo said, there are people farther into Perry County that we want to reach with the good news of Jesus. How are we going to reach them? And so they launched a group out to do that. And it started out, you know, they came here on Sunday mornings and they had that Bible study out there. And then over time, it grew. And eventually that became their own church. And you see, that's why the church planting really is a fruit of something else. It's not the end of itself. It's about what God is calling us to be a people that make disciples, that can go and make disciples, and the result of that is a planted church. So even if you're not actively involved in planting a church right at this moment, every church can be involved in making disciples. Every church can be involved in a work like what was happening in Ephesus. And that's what we pray for. It's what we long for, that God would do just like he did in Ephesus in every region of our district, so that every person in Eastern PA would hear the word of the Lord. And so as I bring this before you, just a few things to maybe think on for your own life and for your church is, would you be willing to embrace that work of multiplication in your church? Right, just as Paul did to say, we want to form people so that we can prepare to send them out. Would you wrestle with that? And would you say, okay, for us to really be a church that sees that kind of transformation, that would see people go out to reach other parts of our county and beyond, what would we have to do differently? What would it look like for that to happen? What conversations would we need to have? What might have to change in our hearts or our habits about that? And would we seek the Lord to say, Lord, point those things out to us that we might live for you, that again, the things that you long for would become the things that we long for. And would that motivate us in fresh and new and vibrant ways in the life of our church? Right? And so would you be open to the formation or the change that God wants to do in you? But then would you consider who is it that the Lord might be leading you to equip, train, develop, so that they are growing and maturing in Christ? Right? The gospel moves over relational paths. And so just like Paul did in Ephesus, there are people that God has put in your life. Where are they gathering? Right? Where is God leading you to go? Who are the people? Who are the names or the faces that God is bringing up that he would lead you to? And then the last kind of question I'd put before you is would you prayerfully consider what it would look like to measure the success of your church, not entirely, but in part, by the sending capacity? Or as one pastor says, that we would change from measuring success of our church by seating capacity to sending capacity. That we would measure our success by how many people, how many disciples we can make, train, and send out so that the gospel would reach every person in our region. And I know that because that's from the heart of God, if we would pursue that with all our whole heart, that this passage in the book of Acts won't be just in the book of Acts. It'll be here. And it'll be in York. And it'll be in Philadelphia. And it'll be in Berwick and in Williamsport. And wherever God's people would willingly say, God, do that work in us, and they would give themselves wholeheartedly to it, the same spirit that's there is the same spirit that lives in you. And so I trust that as you pursue that, that God would give you grace, mercy, wisdom, courage to be able to lead your church towards a multiplication movement like in the book of Acts. I'd love to pray for you, and I know the worship team's going to come and close in a song here, but as you're wrestling with that, we just ask you to take a few minutes before the Lord and say, Lord, what might that look like for us? How might you want to shape me or shape us that we would be like the church of Ephesus, sending out, making disciples and sending them out to reach our county? Let me pray for us.